Let's come before the presence of God and worship as we sing together the hymn 40, O worship the King, all glorious above, O gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Psalm for today is the Psalm 118. Let's read the Word of God together. We're here to do what the Psalm tells us here in the opening verse, to give thanks to the Lord. And we always come before His presence with thanksgiving. And we're able to proclaim, as always, for He is good. The Lord is good. He's always good, no matter what we're passing through. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Ending our reading at verse 24, let's seek the Lord together. Let's pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we come to the presence of God just now here in your house, the living, to praise God. We come to extol the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory in him, our blessed Redeemer, thanking thee afresh that Jesus Christ loved his church and he gave himself for the church. We're taken back 2,000 years ago to the cross, where the blessed Son of God laid down his life in that ransom price that he paid, that we, the guilty sons of Adam, might be forgiven and pardoned and saved by grace. Lord, we're glad today for those of us who can say, it is well with my soul. We know that it wasn't always so. There was a time that we were without God in this world, without Christ, without hope. We were destined to that awful place called hell. We justly deserve to go there because of our sin. But we're glad that Jesus came and he paid the price and he stood between the sinner and the wrath of God. And that wrath was poured out upon him at the cross of Calvary when Jesus paid it all. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore my burden to Calvary. He suffered and he died alone. And Lord, we're glad today that he did that. Did it personally for us so that our sins might be cleansed and forgiven. And so we sit here in the house of God today as those that are justified freely in your sight. We have been to Jesus for the cleansing power. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank thee for that moment when we came to Christ and we confessed our sin and the Holy Spirit entered and we were born of God and our sins were dealt with and we were put into Christ, and the condemnation was removed. Lord, we're glad that we're going to heaven. Our faces are towards that glorious destiny that the Lord has laid up for us in time to come. One day we're going to be there. We're going to see the Lord. We're going to see our loved ones who have passed on before. We're going to meet the great Bible saints, church history saints, those men and women that we are familiar with, both in biblical history and in church history, stalwarts of the faith, men that stood for God, men that were outstanding. Lord, we pray that you will give us an anticipation for that time. But between now and then, keep us faithful. Help us to abound in the work of the Lord. Help us to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to walk with God in a way that pleases the Lord every day. We pray for any in this gathering and those that are listening at home who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, they're still on the broad road that leads to destruction. They're out of Christ, as the hymn writer said, without a Savior, with no hope nor refuge nigh. Lord, will you step into their lives today? Will you show them Christ in all his glory, in all his love, in his compassion? May they see Christ and him crucified. May they be led by faith to him, to know what it is to have their sins personally dealt with in Jesus Christ, so that they will be able to say, like so many others, it is well with me, for time and for eternity. Bless the sick connected to the church, some here, Lord, struggling with health, others listening in this day, some, Lord, with pain, some with disease, some with weakness. Lord, we just commit them to the grace of God this day. Some indeed in hospital, we pray for them. Lord, that you will strengthen them and help them. Remember our Ukrainian friends as well. We thank thee for these days of settling into a new country, a new climate, a new culture, a completely new environment for them. And Lord, you've helped them, and we give thanks for that. Bless the nation that they've left. Bring the war to an end. Overthrow wickedness and evil men. Bring peace to that country. Remember family and friends that have not been able to escape as yet. We pray that thou wilt bless them and protect them. Remember the village that they come from. Lord, we just pray for your protection to be upon the church there. Hear and answer these our prayers, and bless us this day and throughout this week, the testimony meeting tomorrow night, the baptism service. Lord, be there, and every other meeting that is planned, in Jesus' name. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to all that are here and any that are visiting. We're glad to see you. We welcome again our friends from Ukraine. There's a few absent. They're away taking meetings today, but we have the majority with us in worship. If you're listening in on the internet, we're glad to have you. We remind you that the gospel meeting is tonight at 7, preceded by the time of prayer at 6:30. We'd also like to meet the candidates for baptism after the service tonight, just some matters that we need to talk to you about. Monday night, tomorrow night, is the baptism service at 8 o'clock. And I probably need to say this, that the hall is reserved first for close friends and family, and the service will be relayed into another part of the building for others that come, because there's 18 candidates from Hebron and there's 9 from Coleraine. So you understand that there'll be many wanting to come to attend. Tea will be served for all, and we do bid you welcome to come to this special event tomorrow night. Tuesday morning is the senior fellowship at 11. Tuesday night, there's a special prayer service in the Lodge Hotel. Good to have Desi and his wife Daphne with us. And this is organized by our brother and sister. Our Hebron choir will be singing. The Ukrainian choir will sing. Rebecca Park will sing. And the Kingdom Heirs will also be there to sing. And I'll be bringing a short word in conclusion. and anyone that wants to travel to the lodge tomorrow night is welcome, 8 p.m. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock, and it's not Phil. Phil, I forgot, in case you're getting either excited or alarmed that your name is there, I'll be speaking, God willing, on Thursday night at the midweek. Friday is a very special day for David and Emily, and that is because they're getting married, and we want to wish both of them the Lord's blessing on behalf of the Hebron Church, that the Lord will be with them and encourage them in married life and be there right from day one. The wedding is here at the church at 12 noon. So every blessing. We have both of them here this morning. Now that I see you, trust the Lord will bless you and give you a great day throughout Friday. Friday night is the youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. Friday is also the missionary council at 8 p.m. in Lurgan. Saturday morning is the open air in the centre of the town. Next Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, the Sabbath school at 10:30, and the Bible class at the same time as Phil continues to speak on revival, the church in revival, its powerful effect, and the unique outpouring of the Spirit upon a community. Worship service, 12 noon. We're dealing with this subject, why we called our church Hebron. And by that stage, in the will of God, we will have Luci with us from Romania. And he doesn't know yet, but we've asked him we will be asking him to sing next Lord's Day at both meetings. The Sunday school outreach at 3:30 in the afternoon, the gospel meeting here at 7, and the time of prayer preceding that. Thank you for your tithes and offerings to God's work, the building fund envelopes. Are due, no, that was last week. No, that is today. Building fund today and missionary council envelopes and school covenant next Lord's Day. We have this congregational meeting, so we don't need to go into the detail about that, but as for our communicant members on Monday week, the 23rd of May. We're thinking about Aaron Laverty. He has been rescheduled for surgery this coming Friday, and the family would appreciate prayer on his behalf. We're thinking of Mervyn Taylor also, who has been taken into hospital unwell, that you will pray for him. And then the others that we have here on the prayer list mentioned to you, you remember them, please, at the throne of grace. After the prayer meeting this morning, we had the opportunity to have a worship service with our sister Deep's family. So they gathered in their own home this morning, and Tabitha did the translation, and her sister was also there, and I think one of the brothers, and it's just simply gathering around the Word of God and sharing the things of the Lord with them in that wee time this morning. Continue to pray for the work in Pakistan. The Carmichael School now has a sewing center connected to it, and these ladies are coming in to study the Scriptures and to learn the art of dressmaking as well. So remember them, please, at the throne of grace and prayer. And of course, the children of the school, always glad to see these children getting an education and being taught the things of God. You remember the pallets that were sent to Romania to help with refugees from Ukraine. This is part of the distribution by the church team, and they have received many into the church there, and they've also sent some of this food aid and clothing out to others in various parts of Romania and on into Ukraine itself. We had a great time on Friday night in Lisburn. The Missionary Vision Conference took place all week with all the reports and with the preaching of the word. Glad to have our young people there and some other youth fellowship, some from Ukraine, travel down, and we should be able to hear them just sing this little clip. So. the time we had the opening hymn and prayer, I think the front row there was filled with others who came in, and the church was packed out on Friday night, and I believe a work has been done in the hearts of those that attended. Two African pastors were over, Pastor Patrice and Pastor Andrew. They were very anxious to get a photograph with the young people from Ukraine. Pastor Patrice has someone there in Kenya who is from Ukraine, and he wants to have this photograph to show his friend back there and to send a message to these folks. Is our sister Noreen with us today? Noreen, where are you? I haven't discovered your whereabouts just yet. They're all pointing over here. It must be over here somewhere. Noreen, where are you? Oh, there you are, sister. It's good to see you. You'll know this man, Pastor Andrew. Pastor Andrew came to the church here. And if we can listen to this, he says that Noreen will be able to interpret.
Hii, Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu hata akamtoa mwanawe wa pekee ili kila mwaminie asipotee bali awe na uzima wa milele.
Amen.
John 3, verse 16. I want you to pray for Noreen. Noreen's traveling back to Uganda on Thursday. You begin the journey on Thursday. You remember, she travels, she's gone back for a couple of months, and then she'll be returning to do some other deputation work later on. It just has to be done in these days when we still need a little bit of oversight and help there at the school especially. So remember her in prayer. We're going to sing the hymn 462. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Stand us up.
Thank you.
I need to backtrack a wee bit about Tuesday and the senior fellowship. We decided we would do this for the foreseeable future once a month, and it's the first Tuesday, so just delete that little bit of information from your memory. If you can do that, it'll be the first Tuesday of June. Also, Yul and Arnarlene, they have friends with them from Switzerland, and we want to bid them a very warm word of welcome. They're sitting down here. If you want to just stand up and we'll see you, that you're there. They were here. They were here 10 years ago. Yul says he just wants to let me know how old I've got in the past 10 years, but he didn't really say that. We're all getting older. Let's turn the Word of God to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14. I'm going to read from the 6th verse through to verse 15. The section of the chapter deals with a request that is made by Caleb. And we're doing this study in the name of Hebron. That's the name of our church and what we desire this church to be. And so we're looking at some of the prominent characters and things associated with Hebron, and we're coming to Caleb. It was the city of Caleb. So let's read from verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. May the Lord be pleased to take his word and write it indelibly upon your mind and heart, mine likewise, make it a blessing to us. We'll pray just for a moment and ask the Lord's help as we study the scriptures together. Father in heaven, in the worthy name of thy Son, we linger on before thee in prayer, coming to your word, coming to this time where we just simply want to sit at the feet of the Lord, that the bread of life be broken to us, that we will be given understanding in the scriptures, that you will help us to understand your word and the message of it today. To that end, grant us the Holy Spirit of God, who is the great teacher, to sit with each one, each worshiper here in the pew, and those that are at home, and to stand beside the preacher in the pulpit, to give me words to say, to fill me, Lord, with God the Holy Spirit, that I might have strength and power. Oh God, come down in a mighty way. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and so we seek his help now in the ministry of the word. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the second message, as we deal with why we are called Hebron, is Hebron, the city of Caleb. Now sometimes certain places are associated with individuals, some of them outstanding characters of Bible history. We think of Peniel, we think of Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God in Peniel, and he was never the same again. Oh, that God would give us that kind of experience in the Christian life, where we wrestle with God, we refuse to let go until God blesses us. We think of Jericho. In the Old Testament, you might think of Joshua. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Certainly, his name is associated with that city. In the New Testament, you might think about Bartimaeus, who sat in the gates of Jericho begging from the people who passed by until Jesus passed by. And remember how he cried out, "Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me." We think of Ebenezer. Ebenezer is associated with Samuel, the stone of help that was set up after the Lord had wonderfully moved on behalf of Israel, and the testimony, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And that's what the name Ebenezer means. We think of us. You'll think of Job. As you read Job chapter 1, his name is associated with that city. That's where Job the patriarch was from. We think of Nineveh. Nineveh is associated with Jonah, the runaway prophet who disobeyed the Lord when the Lord called him. And, well, he had to face the storm. He had to face the great deep before he wakened up to what the call of God was in his life. And the Lord came and recommissioned him and gave him that second call to preach to the great city of Nineveh. You might think of Nazareth in the New Testament, Joseph and Mary, of course, associated with that place, Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus himself, who was born there. We think of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Saul was his other name, as I think you know. Saul was his Jewish name. And then as he began to minister unto the Gentile world, he assumed his other name, which was Paul. But Saul of Tarsus, he's associated with that city. We think of Patmos Island, and you will think of the beloved John, who was banished there for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then we think of this place, Hebron. Hebron is associated with the patriarch Abraham, over 1900 years before Christ. Hebron is associated with Caleb, about 1500 years BC. And the city is also associated with David, about 1055 years before Christ. We think of how it was associated with Abraham and his family. It was one of the first places where the great patriarch resided after his arrival in the land of Canaan. And thus, it was the site of the oldest Jewish community in the world. The cave Machpelah was located there, which was purchased by Abraham from Ephron the Hittite for 400 pieces of silver shekels. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah, they were all buried there. And according to Jewish tradition, Adam and Eve were also buried in that place. Hebron was then associated with David, who was anointed king over the city, or in that city, and he reigned there for the first 7 years of his monarchy. We're going to come to that, God willing, next Lord's Day. But between the times of Abraham and David, this ancient city of the Jews was also associated with the man that we have read about today, Caleb. Joshua gave this city to Caleb, who led his tribe forth to conquer the city. Joshua chapter 14 records the history of Hebron becoming the possession of Caleb. Look at verse 13. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. So we are thinking about the name that we gave to this church when it was opened back in 2006. And we're asking ourselves the question, what kind of church or what kind of Hebron do we want this place to be? Last week we thought about Hebron being the city of refuge. I don't want to go back there really today. We've said sufficient, but I just want to pause for a moment. And I want to ask, is there someone here and you're unconverted? You're not saved. You're abiding in the city of destruction. And you need to flee that city. You're going down the broad path that leads to eternal destruction in that awful place that is called hell. I want you to know that we want our church to be a place where you can find the Savior, where you can flee, as it were, to the city of refuge, where you can flee to Christ, who is the true Hebron for the sinner, and find in him a place of safety, a place of security, so that when the avenger comes, and the justice of God is the great avenger, who will slay the sinner forever in the darkness of the caverns of the damned forevermore, that you will have a place of refuge and safety. It's Christ that you need. And as you flee from the city of destruction, this is where you need to flee to. You need to get to Christ. But we're coming to the second message. We're thinking today about the city of Caleb. Here is a man who is particularly noted for possessing this outstanding testimony that is recorded several times in the chapter. You can look at verse 14. We'll take that as our text. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that, and this is a little phrase I want you to mark, he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He wholly followed the Lord. In fact, this is mentioned a number of times in this chapter. And we want our Hebron, this church, to be filled with men like this, to be filled with Calebs, men and women who wholly follow the Lord. That is, they put the Lord first. The Lord has the number one position in their lives. The Lord is more important than anything else or anybody else. Such a man goes through with God. Such an individual stands for God in an evil day. Such a one becomes absorbed in the work of God, the work that God has called him to or her to. Such a one makes sacrifices, is prepared to pay the cost. I want to be a Caleb in Hebron. And I want you likewise to be such an individual. I want you and I to be men and women who wholly follow the Lord, come what may. What does it mean to wholly follow the Lord? What kind of a man was Caleb who earned this wonderful testimony that is inscribed forever on the pages of Holy Scripture and upon our minds and hearts as this man who wholly followed the Lord? What kind of a man was Caleb that got him this title? Well, I want to suggest a number of things to you. First of all, he wholly followed the Lord when the majority failed to do so. Look at verse 8. Nevertheless, he says, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Numbers 13 records the history of Moses sending out the spies into the land of Canaan. Israel had not been long on their march toward the promised land at this stage. 12 men were chosen, one from every tribe of Israel, to search out the land. And among the 12 were two stalwarts of the faith, Joshua and Caleb. However, the other 10 men were weak men. It certainly could not be said about them in any shape or fashion that they wholly followed the Lord. Far from it, their eyes were not upon the Lord at all. They walked by sight. Consequently, when they came into the beautiful land of Canaan, though they testified to the suitability of that place and the abundance of the good things, for it was a land flowing with milk and honey, a place of excellent produce. We think of the clusters of grapes that were gathered. Yet these 10 spies could only see the strong inhabitants, the fortified cities, and the mighty giants that lived there. Turn back to Numbers 13 just for a moment and mark verse 27 through to verse 29. These men have come now to make the report of the land. They come to the leaders, Moses and Aaron. And this is the report that they make, verse 27. We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, after being able to state such things, it's a good land, and well, the produce is so wonderful. Nevertheless, there's always a problem, isn't there, with some people? Nevertheless, the people are be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They bring this report, but there was a man. This is so important. There was a man whose heart was right with God. There was a man who was strong in the Lord, a man who wholly followed the Lord, and he stands up immediately to quell the situation. Look at the next verse, verse 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. This is the kind of resolve and determination that men have who wholly follow the Lord, who put God first in everything. Sadly, the 10 faint-hearted men who had no faith in God continued with their evil report. By nightfall, their destructive report had spread throughout the whole camp, and it had a detrimental influence. I just want you to note in passing that faithlessness faint-heartedness and fearfulness in the hearts of weak men can often have a bad effect, a detrimental effect upon others. Complaining and murmuring and negativity is very contagious, very contagious. So harmful was the report of the 10 spies that Israel, all Israel, wept. And they wept the whole night through. All night. You think about that. This report is given, and all night the whole camp of Israel are weeping. Wives were no doubt sobbing as they thought about their husbands being killed in battle and their children being left fatherless. Right across the camp, you could hear the sound of lamentation and anguish. And when the morning came, they were ready to rebel, set up a new leader, and return again to Egypt. This is how men, even majorities whose eyes are not on the Lord, can influence other people. But in the midst of the alarm, the fear, the confusion, there were two men who had their eyes upon the Lord. These were the men that wholly followed the Lord. And here in Numbers 14 and verse 6, we read of Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land. They rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. God was not pleased at all with these 10 men and the report that they brought and the effect that it had upon the others. In fact, God purposed to send pestilence and to smite Israel and disinherit them and raise up a new nation through Moses. But Moses interceded. He pleaded with God on behalf of these people. Look at verse 18. "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." And the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to thy word." This people would have been wiped out had not Moses stood in the breach and pleaded with God and turned away the wrath of God and pleaded the mercy of God. And the Lord wonderfully stepped in and said, "Right, I will hear your prayer. I will pardon according to your word." Oh, God was gracious. He spared the people. However, not one of them would enter into the promised land because of their rebellion, except for the two men who wholly followed the Lord. These two men, Caleb and Joshua. I want to say secondly that Caleb wholly followed the Lord as one who was strong for the battle. Can we come back to our Bible reading in Joshua 14 and note verse 11? Here's a testimony that he makes. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." I think this is pretty amazing. and I'm sure you do as well, Caleb testifies to the state of his health at the age of 85. And he says that he was as strong at 85 as he was whenever he was just 40 years of age. Can you believe that? I think it's true to say that most people at 60 are not able to do what they once did at 40. He says, I'm 85 and I can still do what I did at 40. I'm still as strong as I was. And all you need to do is to ask people that are in their 60s, which I am not just quite yet, but you can ask. You can ask others. Ask some of our retired men that are nowhere near the age that Caleb is at 85. And I'm sure they can testify, well, I just can't do what I once did whenever I was 40. But here's a man, and he's able to make such a testimony. He had a strong constitution, ready and able for battle. We know that Moses was still firing in all cylinders when he was 120. The last chapter of Deuteronomy, which records the death of Moses, tells us that Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. God had miraculously preserved the physical strength of Moses until his death, and he lived to the ripe age of 120. Now Caleb is like this at 85, strong, healthy, ready for war, willing to face the strongest foe and fight the greatest battle. The man who wholly followed the Lord was a strong man. God gave him unusual strength for his years. True strength in the Christian life lies in our relationship with God. I'm talking here about spiritual strength, what it is to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How do we deal with our weakness? How do we deal with our natural inability? How do we deal with our feebleness in the battle for God? We have no strength of our own. We are no match for the great enemies of our souls, the world, the flesh, and the devil. How do we overcome? I tell you, by wholly following the Lord. That will be reflected. It has to be. In our daily walk with God, in the places we go, the things that we do, the people that we mix with, the man who wholly follows the Lord will be loyal to Jesus Christ in all things. Loyal to the place of Bible study and prayer, loyal to God's house, loyal in the seasons of prayer, loyal to holy living, a sanctified life. We can only do this by God's grace. As we keep our eyes upon the Lord, the Christian who wholly follows Christ will be strong for the battle. And I tell you this, will be as strong as he or she ever was, and maybe even stronger before, no matter what their age. And I think we know that in this congregation, don't we? We could name individuals who are in their 80s today, and they're still going on as strong with the Lord as they were when they were 40 or whenever they were first converted. He wholly followed the Lord as one who was strong for the battle. Let me say, thirdly, that he wholly followed the Lord, holding on to the promise of God. Look there at verse 6. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Caleb was given a promise 45 years previously. They had wandered in the wilderness for many years, 40 years in fact. Another 5 years have passed by in their conquest for Canaan. All the time, Caleb held on to the promise of God. He believed that the Lord was going to give him what he had promised all those years previously. The believer who is like Caleb, who wholly follows the Lord, will cling to the promises of the Lord. Has God given you a promise, dear child of God? Maybe it's a promise concerning some unconverted person in your family and you haven't seen them brought to Christ as yet. In fact, maybe today they are further away from God than they ever were. You go back a number of years when that promise was given, and today you find that that family member is away down in the world and far away from God. Do not despair. Do not give up on God. Believe the promises of the Lord. Hold on, as Caleb did, to the promise that God has given to you. Has he given you a promise about the church? Sandy McCauley, over 70 years ago, was given a promise about this church. Though thy beginning is small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. Haven't we seen, in some measure, the fulfillment of that promise? Why? Because we've had Calebs in this church, and they have wholly followed the Lord, and they have held on to the promise of Almighty God. George Mueller was one of the greatest men of faith and of prayer, an outstanding man. He believed the promises of God. He pleaded the promises of God. He held on to the promises of God. He began to pray for the salvation of 5 personal friends. There were many people that he saw converted, but there were 5 men that he was particularly burdened for, and he began to pray. After 5 years of interceding with the Lord, we find that the Lord stepped in and saved one of those individuals. After 10 years, 2 more were brought to saving faith in Christ. For another 25 years, he continued to intercede for the conversion of the 4th and the 5th. And a few months later, another individual was saved. But the 5th one did not get converted until after the death of Mueller. But he was a man that knew God, a man who wholly followed the Lord, and a man who certainly believed the promises of God. He was a Caleb. May the Lord make us like that. Do not give up. I move on quickly. He wholly followed the Lord, even though many years had passed by. Now look again there at verse 10. Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 65 years old. Caleb not only started well in his conquest for the promised land at the age of 40, but he continued steadfastly following the Lord. 45 years have passed by, and still he is as zealous and as faithful and as hearty as ever. Look at him at 40. He's wholly following the Lord. Look at him now at 85, and he's still wholly following the Lord. The trouble with many Christians in the Christian life is they start out well, but as the years roll on, they don't go on so well. Often the believer, the older believer, loses his vision, loses his burden, loses his desire, and in some cases loses his way altogether. And that's a tragedy. So easy to fall into a rut. Not so with Caleb. 45 years have passed, and he's still full of enthusiasm. He's still ready for the battle. He's still willing to go through with God, and that's the kind of Christian I want to be. We want our church to be filled with Christians like this, who not only start out well and go on well for a time, but they persevere. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. It's interesting that the scripture does not speak about Caleb's death, but the word of God does tell us that when that he was an old man of 85, and at that age he was still a strong warrior. Although Caleb was old, he was vigorous and mighty in battle. He illustrates the Reformed doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Westminster Confession of Faith reminds us of this in chapter 17, section 1. They whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. To wholly follow the Lord, brethren and sisters, it means to persevere. We're not going to get weary in well-doing. We're going to keep at the task. We're going to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. We're going to continue with the Lord. Let me say, in the fifth place, he wholly followed the Lord, even though it meant hardship. Look at verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He was ready to fight at the age of 85. He didn't retire from the battle. He didn't shy away from the difficulty. He didn't plead his years. My Lord, you know, I'm 85 now. I'm old. I cannot really go into this battle. He didn't give up. Caleb conquered Hebron by defeating the ancient race of giants that dwelt there. And this was not an easy task for an old man. Only a man who wholly follows the Lord can face the battle. The Christian life is not always easy. We know that. There are trials. There are troubles. There will be tribulation. Often the way is hard. Opposition can be severe. Persecution can be hurtful. And the battle can be intense. Must I be carried to the skies and on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? We are called upon to fight the Lord's battles, to wage war against Satan, to face many a problem and distressing situation. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. Very quickly, in the sixth place, he wholly followed the Lord as a man of faith. Verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. In making his appeal to Joshua for Hebron, he says, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. He reminded Joshua about what the Lord had promised 45 years previously. Caleb was holding on to that promise by faith as he faces the hardship and the struggle of conquering this city, remembering the giants of that place, remembering the Anakims and how well fortified that city was. He declares his unwavering trust in God. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. You see, my friends, battles belong to God. Victories belong to a power that is completely outside ourselves. They come from above. Overcoming power belongs to a sovereign God who sits upon the throne, ordering all things that comes to pass on this earth. It's God that gives us strength. Caleb, this dear man who wholly followed the Lord, had his eye upon God. His faith was firmly fixed upon the one whom he served and worshipped, the God of glory. You'll notice the explicit mention of the Lord in the words that he speaks. The Lord spake, the Lord will be with me, as the Lord said. And it was the same 45 years previously. Caleb and Joshua, by faith, were looking to the Lord alone. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. Rebel not ye against the Lord is with us. The 10 spies didn't even mention the Lord. Didn't figure in their thoughts at all. They only mentioned about what they saw. The strong people, the great walls, the children of Anak, the mighty giants, and how they felt in comparison. We are like grasshoppers in our sight. And then they go on to say that we were like grasshoppers in their sight. They felt so small, so insignificant, so unable. But Caleb, he saw exactly what those men saw. So did Joshua. They saw the giant man of stature. They saw the heavily fortified cities. But this man, Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord, was looking through the lenses of faith. What did he see? He saw the Lord. He saw himself walking into the future, not alone, but leaning on the strong arm of his God. A Christian who wholly follows the Lord will be a person who trusts God. His faith will be anchored firmly in the Lord God Jehovah. If we are to follow God properly, follow him wholly with all the heart, we will trust him. We will trust him, come what may. We will be able to look at the giants. We will be able to look at the obstacles and still trust in the Lord, because our eye will be upon this omnipotent God who is able to do all things, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. He's a God of unlimited power. There's nothing impossible with him. We have the impossible case of the demoniac in Mark chapter 9. His case was humanly impossible. There was nothing that this man could do, nothing the doctors could do, the physicians, the consultants, the experts, no authority from the field of medicine or science or philosophy or religion could help, not even the disciples. They failed because of their unbelief. But the father of the child did not give up. He brought his son directly to Christ and made his appeal to him. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And what did Jesus say? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the father, in his own human weakness, he cried out, Lord, I believe. Help now mine unbelief. And the cure was effected. Caleb believed God. He saw beyond the problems and the difficulties, and that's what we need in Hebron. Men who wholly follow the Lord, men who have a faith that is firm and resolute in God, men who say, Lord, make us like this, make us like Caleb. Think of what could be accomplished in this place if our Hebron could just exercise such faith. The giants would become as nothing. The devil's fortifications would come tumbling down. We would break through the strongholds of the enemy. The mountains would be removed, just like we read in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22-24. You can look it up for yourself, but you're able to cast those mountains into the sea. I want to be a Caleb. Now, time is gone, but I do have one final short point. He wholly followed the Lord, and the Lord gave him the victory. Back to verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. The man that overcomes, the man who obtains the victory, the man who is given success in God's work on earth is the man who wholly follows the Lord. Caleb takes the city of Hebron. It wasn't an easy task. It was a real battle. Think of the walls. Think of the fortifications. Think of the giants. Think of the Anakims. But God gave the victory. Caleb and his army may have been like grasshoppers in comparison. They may have been outnumbered. They didn't have the same expertise or skill or ability. But that doesn't matter when God is on your side. For if God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter how formidable the army might be, how strong the opposition, how fortified their defenses, how proficient in arms they are, how giant-like in stature, God can give the success. Because I tell you, one with God is a majority. We need to realize that and waken up to that reality. You know, there's three giants named in this history. Joshua chapter 15 and verse 14. Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. Why are they named? Why does the Bible give us the names of these giants? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they were well known. They were legends among the giants. They had notable reputations. Probably the sheer mention of their names made men quake. But Caleb fearlessly drove them out. Oh, doubtless the story was told over and over again around campfires. Do you remember when Caleb drove out those giants? There was a story you would tell your children. Oh, my friends, are you living in the victory of the Christian life? Are you an overcomer today? Do you see the enemy defeated in your life? Are the strongholds of Satan being pulled down? Are the giants falling at your feet? Are the walls tumbling down? Is God giving you the victory again and again? Do you know what it is to be more than a conqueror through Him that loved us? Only the Caleb-like Christian will know these things. The man or the woman who wholly follows the Lord. And I just say today as we close, Lord, give our Hebron this kind of Caleb, this kind of person, men and women in our congregation, because you see, this is the kind of person that God blesses, and the kind of church when we have the Calebs in it that God blesses. May it be so for Christ's sake. Let's pray. Lord, we just leave ourselves at your feet in light of your word, thinking about our Hebron, what we want this church to be. Yes, a city of refuge where sinners can flee and find Christ as Savior. But we certainly want it to be a city full of Calebs that love the Lord, who wholly follow the Lord, who put God first and are able to slay the giants. And they're not worried about the great walls. They're not worried about all the opposition. They know that through God they can do valiantly. They can overcome. Lord, give us men and women like this in our church for Christ's sake. Amen. Just maybe a verse of go through with God. Above thine own ambitions here. Another voice is sounding clear. It's the call of God to thee. Leave thy all and follow me. Go through with God. I think Caleb was that kind of a person. He went through with God. May the Lord make us likewise. We'll just sing the opening verse and the chorus of the hymn. Let's stand to sing. Dismiss us now in your fear, with your love upon us. Do a work of grace in the hearts of this congregation, in my heart. Make us what the Lord wants us to be. Some people here need conversion, they need to be saved. Lord, save them today. Some are backsliders, they need to get back to what it is to following the Lord. And Lord, all of us as Christians, we want to get to the place where we're wholly following the Lord. Make us like Caleb, we pray, so that our Hebron will be that kind of church, for Jesus' sake. Amen.